You'll find my text for this evening then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and the middle of verse 9. Luke chapter 11 and the middle of verse 9. The words, "Seek and ye shall find." Beginning of verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Sometimes, like Mr. Roberts this morning, I preach on a whole chapter. Other times, maybe on a few verses. Sometimes on one verse. But tonight, just on a few words, a clause. And yet, there's so much in these words. "Seek and ye shall find." They are the words of Christ. They come with all the authority of the King and Head of the Church. They're such necessary words. Paul says in Romans 3, verse 11, he says there, "There is none that seeketh after God." He was describing man by nature, describing the world in which he lived. "There is none that seeketh after God." That's so descriptive, isn't it, of the world today. The vast majority of the people who live in Salisbury, they don't seek after God. They don't read his Bible. They don't come to church to worship him. You go out with your open-air service from time to time and you seek to preach the word there in the centre of Salisbury. And do they come rushing? Do they come in their crowds and their hundreds and thousands to hear the precious word of God? No. They walk by. They're not interested. They don't care. You offer them salvation, but they see no need of it. They don't value it. "There is none that seeketh after God." There's a terrible apathy in our society, isn't there? People seek after wealth. They seek after education. They seek after promotion. They seek a great house, a big car, and they seek a family. They seek happiness. But they don't seek God, the only one who can give them true and lasting happiness. Indeed, they treat God as if he didn't exist. Though deep down, everyone knows that there's a God. Everyone has a sense of right and wrong. And everyone has a consciousness of God. And it's so often true, even of the atheist, that when they're in real trouble, when they're faced with pain or suffering or death, they cry out to God. They know that there's a God, but they suppress and hold the truth and unrighteousness. They trample it underfoot and they don't want to face up to it. So first of all then tonight, why should you seek God? Seek and ye shall find. Why should you seek God? Well, first you should seek God because he created you. Now, of course, we know that there are many people who try and escape from God and the idea of the Creator God. And they say, 13,500 million years ago, there was a big bang. Nothing was there. And nothing banged for some reason. And from that big bang, everything came. It seems so amazing. And it requires so much faith to believe in it. And then, many years ago, in a warm puddle, a chemical reaction took place. And somehow or other, self-replicating molecules were formed. And this came together in some way or other to form a cell, a living creature. Somehow, some way. We don't exactly know how, but we know that it happened. And we believe that it was just by chance. And then by natural selection, we have all the living creatures and plants that we have in this world. Man hates God, denies God's existence, will believe anything rather than believe in the Creator God. But for all his rantings and ravings, deep down in his heart, man knows that he's a creature of God. Why should you seek God? You should seek God because he made you. And you should seek God, secondly, because you belong to him. When you make something, it's yours, it belongs to you, and God created you and me, and we belong to him, and therefore we have a duty to seek him. Because we belong to him, one day he's going to call us to account. And every one of us will stand before that great white throne. You will be there, I will be there. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and all the generations that have ever lived on this earth. The sea shall give up the dead which are in it. Death and hell and the grave shall deliver up the dead which are in them. And every man and woman shall stand before the living God. And we will have to give our account. How vital, therefore, it is that we seek God. Not just that, but we have to seek God because in Adam we rebelled against him. God created the world and he created our first parents and he entered into a wonderful relationship, a covenant with Adam. And he placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and gave to them all these beautiful trees and plants and flowers. And they could eat of all the trees that were in the garden apart from one which he reserved for himself. And God said, "In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die." And Adam put out his hand, and you and I put out our hand, and we took the forbidden fruit, and we ate it. And we sinned in him, and fell with him in his first transgression. And ever since then, we are under a broken covenant. And God's wrath and curse rests upon us. In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And death, 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 physical death, spiritual death, eternal, is there, our portion. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord further, because we sin and we sin daily. We break every one of the commandments God gave us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what do? We make our family into a god. And we make our job into a god. And we make our hobbies into a god. And we create all kinds of gods. We even worship our body, or we worship food, or whatever. There's so many gods. We're always worshipping false gods when we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. And we're told how then we are to worship him and not to make unto ourselves our own forms of worship and graven images. And yet we do, we sin, we worship the way we like with our will worship rather than subjecting ourselves to the direction of Scripture. We take God's holy name lightly upon our lips. We use the Sabbath day for doing our own pleasure rather than keeping it holy from morning till night. He just asks for one day out of seven, and we will not even give him that one day. And he calls upon us to respect authority and honor those whom he has placed over us, and we despise authority. And he tells us to love one another and turn the other cheek, and we're full of hatred and bitterness and anger. And he tells us to be pure, and we're full of lust. Not to steal, not to lie, not to covet, and we break all his commandments. Seek the Lord. You're a sinner. A sinner going to the judgment seat. And so am I. Seek the Lord further, because God in his great mercy sent his Son into this world. And the Son of God in his amazing love came and took our nature and lived a holy life on this earth, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he was obedient unto death, even the cursed death of the cross. Indeed, we took him, and we hammered the nails through his hands and through his feet and laughed at him as he died. Oh, I wouldn't do that, you say. I would never crucify anybody. I'm appalled at what ISIS do when they behead people. And yet, what did we do with him? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. What did we do with him? We took him and we crucified him. And when Pilate tried to release him and said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" we cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." And if you are still in a state of unbelief, you are crucifying him still. Why should we seek the Lord? Because God's wrath is terrible, terrifying. Just think what God did to the ancient world. People nowadays think, well, I'm not that bad. I'm just one of the crowd. There's lots of people worse than me. I'm sure God couldn't send everybody to hell, could he? Surely not. Well, what does the Bible tell us? What does history tell us? What did God do in the past? Well, in the past, the world became evil. Yes, just like it is today. Full of violence and full of immorality. And what did God do? He sent a flood and he killed two or three people. Two or three really wicked people. No. He killed everybody. Man, woman, child, baby. Apart from Noah and his family. The justice of God. The holiness of God. The hatred God has for sin. For your sin and my sin. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Luxury, pride, immorality. And God sent upon Sodom and Gomorrah showers of fire and brimstone and burnt up everyone, even Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She didn't escape. Will you escape in the day of God's wrath? Remember, God's fire and brimstone is real. It's not a joke. People talk about damnation so lightly, and they use that word in such a light way. But what can be more awesome and fearful than God's eternal wrath? And when we look at Calvary and we see the beautiful Son of God, the Holy Son of God, the loving Son of God, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what do we see him suffering? But the wrath and curse of God. And if God punished his own Son, how shall you and I escape who neglect and despise so great salvation? Seek because Christ commands you to seek. Seek especially because you need peace with God. You need peace with God. And the only way to get peace with God is to seek peace with God. You need peace. Seek peace with God. So we've looked at why you should seek. Secondly, who are you to seek? Seek ye the Lord. Some seek Allah. And it's amazing what they will do in seeking Allah. They'll leave the comfort of home in this country and they'll go to Syria. And there they will fight in great danger and suffer great hardships. And some of them will strap a belt of explosives round their body and blast themselves into eternity seeking Allah. Others seek the Hindu gods and come with their offerings to the Hindu temples. Some seek the God of the Jehovah Witnesses and spend their days, all their spare time going round the doors, trying to propagate this cult. Others seek Satan and witchcraft. Some seek the God of their own imagination that will be impressed with their good works and their charity and their ritual and their masses. But seek the Lord. Seek the Creator of heaven and earth. Seek the ruler of the universe. Seek the God of Scripture who has revealed himself. How could we know God? The God who is invisible, unless he revealed himself, and he has revealed himself in the Scriptures, and we have this authoritative revelation. Seek the loving God who sent his Son into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek Jesus, who died on the cross to save sinners. Seek the Savior. Seek the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and life in regeneration and sanctification. Who are you to seek? The Lord. Thirdly, what are you to seek? In one word, you're to seek salvation. You're to seek Christ, you're to seek God as your Father, Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit as your friend. You're to seek salvation, to seek forgiveness for your sins. See, our big problem is we're sinners. God is holy. God is going to judge us. And we're all going to have to stand before the judge. And how can a criminal face the judge? An angry judge who is angry with sinners every day, who says the wages of sin is death and hell. So what are you going to do? Seek forgiveness and your sins to be washed away. Seek peace with God. Seek faith and trust in Christ, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only Savior. Seek Christ as your Savior. Seek repentance. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Seek conversion. Seek the new birth. Seek a changed life. Seek the power of God in your heart and life to enable you to turn your back upon the old lusts and the old addictions and the old sins and the old pride and the old Pharisaism and the old self-righteousness. Seek God's help, God's Spirit to empower you. Seek perseverance, because many fall by the wayside. Judas Iscariot began well. He was appointed by Christ to be an apostle, and he ended up committing suicide, and he went to his own place. One person we can be sure of who went to hell, Judas Iscariot. Remember Demas, having loved this present evil world, forsook the apostle. Don't be like a dog returning to your own vomit again, or a sow that is washed, returning to her wallowing in the mire. Seek perseverance to keep on going, and seek heaven to die well in a blessed future. Fourthly, how are you to seek? You're to seek in repentance. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? O house of Israel, why will you die? You and Salisbury Church, why will you die and perish in hell? Turn ye, for why will you die when there is life with God? And he offers you life. Repentance. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. Repentance and faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Turn to Christ. Turn to him in faith. There is a Savior who is able to save and willing to save. A Savior who says, come. Come. One day he'll say, go. Depart. Depart from me into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. But today, he's not saying depart to anyone. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, come to Christ, he's saying. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come. Come in faith. Come in prayer. And that's particularly emphasized here, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask. Ask in prayer. And you shall receive. Seek. It seems to be putting more emphasis upon it. Knock. Knock at the door of heaven. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Not it might be opened, or if you knock for many, many years, maybe something might happen. No, it says there, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Pray. Remember the publican who came to the temple and prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Great prayer. Wonderful prayer. A prayer that we can pray to our dying day and must pray to our dying day. Sinners, hell-deserving sinners, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Isn't it wonderful that we're given in the scriptures even the very words to pray? How are you to seek? Not with good works, not trying to improve yourself, not seeking to impress God with your changed life and your morality and your charity and your kindness or your religion or your prayers or your attention at the means of grace. No. What are you to do? Leave your good works. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Seek the Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sins. Come to Christ. Call upon Him. Call upon me and I will answer you. Remember that wonderful verse in Romans 10. Whosoever. Does that include you? Whosoever. Could it be you? Who does it exclude? Whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. Cry. God help me. How shall you seek? And then, fifthly, the manner of seeking. It mustn't be a half-hearted seeking. There are some, there are many indeed. At least we have them in Scotland. I wouldn't be surprised, but you have some like that down here too. And they come to church, and they sit, and they listen. Young people maybe like that. And they go home, and maybe from time to time they put up a little prayer. But there's no earnest seeking. It's all kind of so superficial. And they're sitting there and they're maybe waiting for something to happen. But does the Bible ever say, sit and wait, and maybe someday there will be a light shining, or a voice from heaven will speak to you? What does the Bible say? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow, you could be in eternity. For all you know, this very night could be your last. Maybe you'll never see your home again. It was written in the paper just the other day. A statistic. I think it was 5 young people who die suddenly with an unknown heart condition every week in Britain. We do not know. We do not know when an accident could take place. We don't know when we could have a stroke. We don't know when death could come. Life is so uncertain. Every one of us are, as Jonathan Edwards said, hanging by a thread over the pit of hell. Any moment, the flame of hell can burn that thread and you fall down into the lake of fire. Are you ready to die? Have you made your peace with God? Are you sure? Those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8:17. Seek early. Don't leave it till it's too late. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. Are you seeking the Lord with all your heart? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Seek ye first. Before what? Before everything else. What is the priority in your life? What are you seeking first? What are you looking for? What are you yearning for? What is your ambition? What is your desire? What have you set your heart on? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. Seek and you shall find. Remember the rich young ruler. He seemed very earnest. He comes running to Jesus and he comes with a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, go sell all that you have, come and follow me, and you shall have eternal life. And he went away sad. Why? Because he loved his possessions more than he loved God. More than he valued his soul. It was far more important for him to have his wealth. How sad. Job said, naked came I unto this world, and naked shall I go from this world. One day we'll leave the world and we'll take nothing with us. And yet, how diligent you and I are amassing the things of this life, valuing these transitory things. And yet you think of eternity. And what is eternity? It goes on and on and on and on forever. And what shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What is your soul worth? What could you get in this world that would be worth perishing for and ending up in hell? The manner of seeking, not half-hearted, but seeking with all your heart. And finally, the promise to seekers. Seek and ye shall find. Have you found? Have you found salvation? Are you at peace with God? Are you on the road to heaven? If you haven't found, it's because you haven't sought. If you seek, the scripture tells you, you will find. Verse 10 emphasizes it. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Every single one that seeks shall find. God himself has made the promise. Will you be able on the judgment day to say to God, God, I sought salvation and I didn't find it. Your Bible wasn't true. You told a lie. He is the God that cannot lie. Yes, there are certain things that God cannot do. And one of the things he cannot do is tell a lie. And God has said, those that seek me shall find me. He promises you life. And he means what he promises. Seek and you shall find. And that means that you shall find even in this life, and you shall find assurance, and you shall know that you have found, and you shall be conscious, yes, that you have found. We are to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. The Apostle Paul could say, I know him in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He could say, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearance. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking for it? You've got a crown of righteousness too. How can anybody be sure they're on the way to heaven? They can be sure because God gives his Holy Spirit to them. And the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. Assurance is one of the blessings that God gives to his people. Seek and you shall find. And don't be content with anything less than assurance. Draw near to God, having the full assurance of faith. Seek it, strive for it, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're amongst the elect of God. And how can you know that you're amongst the elect of God? By your response to the effectual calling. Those who respond to the call, they know that they are in the elect. There's a promise then of assurance in this life, and there's a promise of eternal life in the world to come. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Are you tonight on the road to heaven? Or are you tonight on the road to hell? Remember, there's only the two roads. A broad road to hell with lots of people on it. A narrow road to heaven, and few there be that find it. Are you on the way to heaven or on the way to hell? God is speaking to us tonight. He's speaking to you. He speaks to me too through the word. And he says, seek and ye shall find. Seek. Make sure you seek. Don't rest content until you find. Until you know that you have found. There's nothing more important than this. Seek and you shall find.
Thank God tonight for that powerful preaching of the gospel. And I think we've all sensed the power of God.